Look at Lord's Day 45. Pastor and I, as we meet weekly, have been going through a book on prayer. And so we thought it would be good to take some time and look at these themes that the Catechism brings out that reflect what Scripture teaches us. So we're going to just read question and answer 116. Answering that question, why do Christians need to pray? The answer? Because prayer is the most important part of thankfulness God requires of us. And because God gives His grace and Holy Spirit only to those who pray continually and groan inwardly, asking God for these gifts and thanking Him for them. And our scripture then this evening comes from James 5. James 5, we'll read verses 13 through 18. We'll be looking at that effectiveness of prayer specifically tonight. You can find that on page 1013. In your provided Bibles. Hear now God's Word. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruits. So far our reading in God's holy word. So last week, people of God, we looked at how our prayers can be found acceptable before God, a holy and righteous God. How is it that sinners like us can approach this throne at all? And why would God want to answer us? And so today we look at that question. Why do we pray? Why is it that God is pleased to answer us? How is it that our prayers are effective? Because we learned last week that God is the one who provided this way in which we can pray to Him and enjoy a relationship with Him. And He reveals to us that He wants to have that fellowship with us. He wants us to speak with Him as He speaks to us. And prayer is part of that conversation that we have with Him, in the sense that He gives us His Word and we respond to Him in prayer and in praise. And so prayer then is part of that conversation we have with God. It involves things such as adoration, which recognizes who God is and the works that He has accomplished. It involves confession, which is that humble approach before God, recognizing your transgressions against His will and that forgiveness that is needed. We also recognize that He is the provider of all things. And so we give thanks to Him. Thankful praise. But finally, the boldest of all is supplication. That we go before Him and ask for our desires. The Westminster Shorter Catechism describes prayer like this. Prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God for things that are agreeable to His will in the name of Jesus Christ, with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of His mercies. This is a bold thing that we do. That we are not merely asking for what we need, but our desires. We also confess that this God is a sovereign God, a God who rules over everything, and He has His will. And so some of us might be wondering how it is that those two relate. Or why should we even pray? If God is sovereign, and He is going to have His will, why should we pray and ask for things that we desire? How is it that these two things relate? Because God's plan is going to work out for Him anyways. It's going to happen His way anyways. Why pray at all? If everything has been determined by God and He sovereignly has ordained it, then there seems little reason to pray. But when we look at James, we see that there are many reasons to pray. Not the least of all being that power in which prayer has. Therefore we see, which is our theme this evening, that prayer is an effective means to receive the blessing of God's will. Once again, prayer is an effective means to receive the blessings of God's will. And so the first reason that we should pray is because it is necessary. It's even commanded by God. Secondly, we will see the effectiveness of prayer. And finally, we will see the dependency of prayer. So first of all, that necessity. The first and very important reason that we need to pray is because it's commanded by God. Look at James 13, or 5 verse 13, where it says, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray." Now to us, "let him pray" might sound like an invitation. But the force behind this word is much stronger. It is a command that he must pray. He needs to pray. It is a command from God's Word that this man should pray. And here James wants to cover that command to pray goes in all aspects of life. He goes from the one who is suffering or in trouble all the way to the one who is cheerful. They are both commanded to pray. They are both commanded to give praise to God and give Him the honor due His name. Take part in a conversation with Him. He's giving us the two extreme poles, this suffering and the hardships, but also the good of life. In both aspects, we need to turn to Him in prayer because He has commanded it of us. Also, verses 14 tells them to call the elders to pray. In verse 16, there's the command to pray for one another. The commands are everywhere in this scripture passage. But they go beyond here as well. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Paul says that we are to pray without ceasing. And we recognize that we fall so far short of this. So often our minds, as we talked about, are distracted and we forget to pray. We forget in our day-to-day lives to go through that conversation continually with Him. But we also recognize that this command is fully fulfilled in Christ. Because He is there at the throne room of God, at the right hand of God, continually serving for us in prayer, interceding for us, and asking for all our needs. But this needs to also be an encouragement that we continually live and strive toward an active heart of prayer in our day-to-day lives, whether it be in cheerfulness or in troubling times. But sometimes we don't live and strive toward that constant prayer because we don't believe the effects. We don't believe the effects that will happen in prayer. We don't see them immediately. Can you imagine what would happen to many of us if we saw the results of our prayers within 60 seconds? I bet you many more of you would be praying more regularly. We saw this immediate reaction, immediate gratification of those desires that we ask of God. So one of the reasons that we don't follow this command is because we doubt that effectiveness. We don't see it right away, and so sometimes we even forget that we prayed for it. But you can see in this passage that the effectiveness of prayer is here. And it is the effectiveness of the prayer. Some might look at this and look and see that there was anointing oil that was needed for this sick person. And so they focus on that anointing oil as a means in which to find healing. But if you also look more fully at it, it is in verse 15 that it says, "In the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick." It is not the anointing oil that is focused on here in James, but instead it is the prayer of the faithful one. It is the prayer of the elders and of the sick and of those praying over him. And so some would argue that this anointing oil needs to be done. And some would argue that this was purely medicinal. That this anointing oil was actually used as a soothing purpose. Much like when Luke, in the Gospel of Luke, there is the parable of the Good Samaritan, where he puts on the anointing oil on the man who's been beaten up. And so they say that this is purely medicinal, and so we shouldn't do this at all. But others point out that this anointing oil is given to the person in the name of the Lord. And so I'm not sure exactly how I stand on this, but we want to focus on and recognize that the thing that brings healing is God through this prayer. And so the prayer, though it is, the prayer is the effective means in which God uses for both body and soul ailments. If you look at those verses once again, read them with me, and notice how he interrelates the two. That he uses some spiritual words for physical healing, and he uses some physical healing words for spiritual illnesses. Look at that again with me. "Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed." It is interesting that he interrelates the two. He recognizes that we are both body and soul, and the things affect one another. Sin can sometimes affect our health and our strength and our illness, our physical bodies. And in other times, our physical bodies can make us spiritually depressed because of hardships or even because of sicknesses. And so they interrelate. And so these words are interrelated as he speaks about them. healed is used for spiritual illnesses, and those who are sick are saved from sin and forgiven. And this then makes James conclude in chapter 16 that the prayer of the righteous person has great power in working. He says that the prayer of the righteous person is very powerful. It's able to forgive sins. It's able to heal a person. It's able to, by the Lord, raise him up. And he sees the power in prayer. And the word here describes this potential power. Many of you may have gone through physics classes. And many of you recognize that a stone up on a hill has potential power, just waiting to be released. Or a spring being held down is something that has potential power. It's able to act and work as soon as this energy is released. Or a kid's play toy in which you pull back. As soon as it's released, it has that power to go much further than what you did to pull it back. That's potential energy. And James sees our prayers as having energy and able to work that needs to be released when we pray. Energy that has the power to work and to act in people's lives and heal them, both spiritually and physically. Prayers have an energy and they need to be released and spoken to God to have their effect. And some of you might say, well, that's nice for the righteous man, right? Obviously not for me. But James goes on to give an example. The example of Elijah. And he says about this man, before you hold him too high on a pedestal, that he had a nature like ours. And if you read his account and his story, he had his times that were high in which he was praying, and he had those low times. Those times where he was depressed and thought that God had let everybody go, and so he was crying and moping in the cave, being self-centered. And so he was a man just like us. But his prayers were so effective. His prayers moved heaven to work. His prayers called down fire from heaven to destroy and consume a sacrifice. His prayers, as opposed to those who served Baal, their prayers were ineffective, but he who serves God and prays to God, his prayers are effective. And they give God the glory. And he points out that this man also stopped rain from heaven, called upon the earth to go into a drought, and then prays again to bring rain. So he is one in whom some sense controls the heaven. He controls rain by his prayers. And we recognize this as, and we need to say, in some sense, because the efficacy only comes through God in those things that are asked in accordance with his will. And that's why we look at that dependency of prayer, our third point. James says in verse 15, he says, the Lord will raise this person. The Lord is the one who does the work. The power of prayer is to move God to act and to work. And He is the one we pray to because He is the one who acts. And He is the one who has even ordained it that our prayers would be the effective means in which He acts. Did you get that, kids? Our prayers are the reasons why God acts. He is the one who ordains these things, that we can ask and it will be given, that we can seek and we will find, and we can knock and the door will be opened to us. And as we see last week, it is God's good pleasure to hear our prayers. And it is an odor in His nostril to attract Him to us to answer those prayers. And on top of that, we recognize that He is sovereign. He is the one who is able to answer these prayers. Sovereignty should never be an excuse not to pray, but the confidence behind prayer. God is capable to accomplish that task in which we ask for. To pray means that you recognize that you are not the one in power, but God is. That He is the one who is pleased to act on behalf of His children. He is the one who is able to achieve the thing that you are praying for. None of this would happen without the help of your Father in heaven. In 1 John 5:14 and following says this, "And this is the confidence that we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we will have the requests we ask of Him." This is our confidence that God will give us what we ask in His name and according to His will. And we, as people of God, are happy and glad to pray that prayer that says, "If this is Your will." Because we recognize, due to our immaturity, that we may ask for wrong things. One illustration that I have heard in the lives of one of my professors is that he, in his childhood, remembers praying that he would have this woman as his wife. He was just absolutely in love with this woman. And he thought this would be the best fit for him. And so he prayed continually about having this woman as his wife. Now God did not answer that prayer. He answered the essence of that prayer is that which he wanted a woman that would be well suited for him. But he answered it by giving him someone that was far greater than the one he was asking for. And what joy he has with this new wife, or this different wife that he had asked for than what he had asked for. And so we recognize that sometimes it is much better, and God knows much better than what we ask for. And so we are dependent upon God's will. But we are also dependent upon God's timing, which once again is a difficult task for us. We just read about that persistent widow. We need to be continually asking God for the blessings that He has promised to us and those things according to His will. We need to consistently be asking, but recognizing that sometimes these things come much later for our timing. It might be entirely too long for us and for our memory, but God answers them anyways. And even James here gives us this command in the midst of his command to endure suffering. Just before that, he says, "Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth? Be patient about it. until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remained steadfast. You have heard the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purposes of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. God commands us also to be patient and wait for the fruit of our prayers. And so we need to be patient in trials and in suffering. We need to continually pray and ask that God will give us His blessings. Finally, we recognize that some prayers are not answered in the affirmative because they are not for our good and they are not for His glory. And the greatest unanswered prayer is the one that Christ gave. The one who asked that this cup passes from Him. This perfectly righteous man, who if anyone deserved the prayers to be answered, it would be Him. But it would seem that heaven was closed up to the affirmative of this one. The yes to this. Because the Father knew that by not answering this prayer, that we would enter into His presence, that we would be renewed into fellowship with Him, because He would drink the cup that was placed before Him, the wrath of God that we deserve to drink. And so it is only in Jesus' name that we can be in fellowship with Him, that we can respond to His words. And so we praise Him for this unanswered prayer. So people of God, let me encourage you once again to be consistent and deliberate in prayer. Do not let God's will or sovereignty be an excuse of why not to pray, because He has ordained that your prayers would be effective. Your prayers are used by God to change hearts, to heal sickness, to forgive sins, to restore the lost to Him, and to give Him glory. So people of God, pray without ceasing. Amen. Let us turn to